yesterday. What do they call her? The notorious RBG. Right? The notorious RBG. She's, every time I see her, I think of my, well, she's dead now, but my great-grandmother Prudy. That was her name, Grandma Prudy. It was my dad's mom's mom. And she died when she was like 93. And we used to have to go to her apartment. She lived in one of them assisted living apartments. So they didn't have a nurse in the apartment, but like these apartments, they were like little bungalows and they were on this big property and they were all wired to a nurse's station. So if they fell, this is before the lifeline, the I've fallen, I can't get up. Way before that. So I think the floors were wired. So if there was a thud, there no, it wasn't. But that's a good concept, right? Instead of the little button you push, you, as soon as you hit the floor, that's it. I don't know. Stupid. I'm getting loopy. I'm in this my hot studio, and I'm there's no oxygen in here. I'm I'm getting loopy. Anyways, that was my great grandmother. She was all hunched over like Ginsburg is now. She has that hump in the back, you know, that hump like a hunchback. She's like the hunchback of the Supreme Court. Not the hunchback. The hunchback of the Supreme Court, not Notre Dame. Quasi Ginsburg. That's what she looks like. She does. So it happens when you get old. I'll probably have the big hunch. And my brother's mom has got the hunchback, my dad said. My dad's ex-wife. Because my parents, they'll see my dad's ex-wife. I mean, they're old now, so it's not a big deal. And they all had kids, and so they had a 4th of July party, and my dad and mom went there. And I said, Dad, how old is her? Oh, she's 74 now. I go, how did she look? Well, she's starting to kind of get a little. I go, what? Well, she's kind of I go, she's like hunched. Yeah, she's got a hunchback. He goes, yeah, a hunchback. I go, at least you don't got a hunchback yet. You're not like a Quasi Ginsburg, the hunchback there. But anyways, enough of making fun of Ginsburg. Well, at least with her hunchback. But that's what it reminds me of, my late great grandmother Prudy, who had a hunchback and a cane, kind of Yoda-like. Kind of Yoda-like. Anyways, so she did a bunch of interviews over the last couple days, okay? And it's pretty amazing because a Supreme Court justice, well, any judge, remember, we spent 3 weeks, man, maybe it was 2 weeks. I might be exaggerating. I might be being an exaggerator here, but it was definitely more than 1 week. Remember, it was all about Trump saying, and Hillary brought it up today, he sat there and he questioned a judge's decision making based on the fact that his parents from Mexico. And everybody knows, or at least everybody on the right knows, that's not the case. The left just didn't report on all the pro-amnesty, pro-boycotting of Trump ties that this judge has. Didn't report on it. Instead, it was basically judges are impartial. They have reached a level of just consciousness and just they're godly. I mean, seriously. When Trump questioned if this judge can be impartial, when he questioned, hey, this judge has ties to pro-amnesty groups. This judge has ties to organizations that are boycotting me. This judge has ties, regardless if he is born in Indiana, to relatives who benefit from a open border policy. This judge has all of these issues, and I'm questioning if this judge can be fair. And Trump was instantly attacked. You're a racist. How can you impugn the integrity of this judge? Judges, this isn't just some political hack. This is a judge, a federal judge. Do you understand that no matter how a judge feels inside, no matter what a judge has in their heart, it never reflects their judgment. They never invoke their emotions. It's about the law, because being a judge, I mean, it was endless. Talked about in the first segment, Jake Tapper. And I know Jake. I'll say it again. I know Jake. Jake interviewed me. He spent a whole day with me. He was in my home. In my home? Yes, Jake Tapper was in my home. Before he was a big shot. It was before he was who he is now. Every once in a while, I get him to say hello to me on Twitter. I stalk him, send him articles. And I, Jake, here's another article for you to ignore. Here, Jake. And he promoted someone's bio. You promote this person's book. You never even acknowledge me. And he goes, hi, Rob. Hi, Jake. So we had 2 weeks of Tapper and everybody else going after Trump. Hillary Clinton today going after Trump again over this judge. And here we have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not just any judge, but a Supreme Court justice, a judge of the highest level. I mean, if you're a judge, you dream. If you're a politician, you dream of being the president of the United States one day. Even if you're just a goofy congressman from the 16th district of Wichita, Kansas, okay? You have at least one or two dreams a week about being the president of the United States. If you're a judge, and you're a federal district court judge, you dream of getting tapped. You dream of that one day somebody saying, hey, you're being considered for the Supreme Court. That's like, so that is the coup de grace. So Ginsburg, she's doing an interview with the New York Times, and this is something that is a new phenomenon. It really is. It's a new phenomenon. And I don't know who started it, But it definitely just started in the Obama era. And that's Supreme Court justices going out on the talk show circuit, I guess. Seriously, like interviews and just being accessible. It wasn't like this 15 years ago. I mean, Supreme Court justices, it was that last thing in politics that cherished, mysterious, you know, you can't have cameras in the courtrooms. I mean, you didn't see it work. You didn't see them in action. You didn't see them interacting with people. But in the last 7.5 years, they're doing talk shows, they're interviews, they're just doing stuff that I don't know they shouldn't be doing. But you know, Obama has ushered in just a whole new wave of things that you shouldn't be doing, or things that were never done before. Ruth Bader Ginsburg does an interview with the New York Times, and she says, I can't imagine what this place would be. I can't imagine what the country would be with Donald Trump as our president. For the country, it could be 4 years. For the court, it could be, I don't even want to contemplate. I might move to New Zealand if Trump were to win. And that's the New York Times. Then she does an interview with the CNN people. It's a talk show host. I mean, she's making her rounds. It's like, oh, I'm going to Leno. I'm going to Letterman. I know, I'm a little outdated there. All right, I'm going to Fallon. I'm going to Kimmel. I'm not going to Colbert because nobody does Colbert. So she does CNN and says, you know, Trump is a faker. He has no consistency. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. And I'll tell you how he has gotten away with not turning over his tax returns. The press seems to be very gentle with him. That's amazing. A Supreme Court justice is not supposed to talk like that. Like I said before, the Supreme Court is always been this very sacred, very taboo institution as far as cameras and as far as gaining access. You know, there's not supposed to be a litmus test. You know, when you see them get confirmed, the whole back and forth with a Democrat congressman or Democrat senator or Republican congressman, Republican senator, they're always asked, can you judge this case fair? Can you be impartial in this situation? It's a big thing. Well, if Donald Trump wins the presidency, how the hell does Ruth Bader Ginsburg stay on that court? How does she stay on that court if there's ever a case that involves Trump, the president. And what I mean by that is you had a bunch of cases during Obama's presidency that were against or for Obama. There were cases that involved policies that he either wanted to protect or policies that he wanted struck down. Whether it was DACA, whether it was Obamacare. I mean, these were Obama policies. These were Obama projects. Well, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg is on the Supreme Court and Donald Trump is president and he has a similar situation, how the hell does Ruth Bader Ginsburg not recuse herself? How does she say, oh, I can judge this case fair? How? You don't like Trump. You don't like Trump. First off, you said you were going to move to New Zealand, and you didn't move to New Zealand. You stayed here. Talked about his ego. You talked about him being fake. How the hell can you judge this case? Because, you see the problem here? You see the problem and you see how just Trump flushes, why does the media despise Trump? Why do politicians despise Trump? Because he flushes out either what people are feeling inside, what people are hiding inside. He's brought truth into this country in the past year. I mean, he really has. Some of you can laugh and go, oh, this is coming from Trump who doesn't tell the truth. This is going, what did he say about this? He was lying about this and the thousands of Muslims. Media in this election cycle got flushed out. The whole, oh, we're not biased. They got flushed out. They got called out. To the point where Washington Post is 25 reporters that are going after Trump. I mean, flushed up. Supreme Court, there's not supposed to be any bias. They're supposed to set aside their bias. And what Trump did was flushed out the Supreme Court. He flushed them out. He flushed out a member of the Supreme Court that gives an opinion, that votes, writes an opinion based on her ideology. That's it. So no matter what the merits of the case are, if it favors a Republican, Ruth Bader Ginsburg will go against that Republican. I'll tell you, what they need to do now What they need to do now, and remember, if the roles are reversed, this would be a, like, right now it's a funny controversy. It's, oh, the notorious. I mean, yesterday, you had people on CNN, oh, hi, that's why they call her the notorious RBG. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha. It was like a laugh. It was like a joke. If this was reversed, if this was a Republican, if this was a justice showing, and I know Trump's not the president, and Obama's the president, but remember the outrage when Obama was speaking about Citizens United? I think that was the case at one of his State of the Unions. And Judge Alito mouthed, you're wrong, or that's not fair. He mouthed something when Obama brought up the Citizens United. And it was like a controversy for a month. Now, I know Trump's not the president, but the whole thing was this showing of partisanship, and it's just not supposed to be done, to the point where Scalia, back in 2003, recused himself from a case. That involved the under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. So there is a case challenging the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And he recused himself because he had expressed support in speeches he had given. He was a big under God guy. So he was like, listen, I can't judge this case. I can't be part of this case, you guys, because I'm going to vote for under God. It wouldn't be fair. I'm going to vote for under God. I've came out and said, here's how I stand on it. I am voting for under God. So like I said, the court has always tried. The court has always tried to be impartial. Hell, Democrats always bring up, the Heller decision, the last big gun decision that came out of Supreme Court, and the fact that Scalia actually said, hey, there can be restrictions involving guns. Democrat, and Scalia is Mr. Hunter. Scalia is Mr. Gun. Scalia is Mr. Republican. Or was. And now, he got Ginsburg. Trump, he's a faker. I'm moving to New Zealand. If it was a Republican, you know what they'd be doing right now? If Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a Republican, and she came out and said that Hillary Clinton is a liar, everything she says is a lie, I can't imagine what this country and this court will be like if she's elected president. Ugh. I'll move to Switzerland. If she was a Republican, you know what they'd be doing right now? there would be calls to examine every single case that she has been involved with. And if those cases were decided by a liberal vote, and if she had influence in those cases, so if it was decided by one vote and it involved Democrats or a platform by Democrats, or the roles reversed, Republicans, they would have congress. It would be amazing. I mean, it would be amazing. I don't feel, I'm sorry, I'm like Gilbert Godfrey. Amazing, Gilbert Godfrey. Why you mean? But I mean, come on. Imagine if this was a Republican doing this. Tonight, it'd be three shows, and all three shows would be examining cases involving that Republican and those cases affecting a president or decisions involving the opposite party. Chris Hayes would start his show and it would be examining this case. Rachel Maddow would start her show examining that case. Lawrence O'Donnell would start his show examining this. I mean, they would all examine a case, and they would be outraged. They would be beside themselves. I mean, it'd be a real controversy, like a serious controversy. Not just a, well, that's why they call her RBG. We are liberals. We are Democrats. We have two sets of rules. Rules for us and rules for the non-us. That's what it'd be. That's what it'd be. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Be amazing, but here we are, and it's just laughed off. That's why I say I think she's done in this next term, even if it's Trump. I think it's done. It's over. Even if I think she knows that this next term, she's going to announce that she's resigning. I mean, come on. She's, what, 83 years old? She's got the hunchback. Every time you see her, she's asleep. She's asleep. Every time you see her, she's asleep. Hunch slouched over. I mean, she might not even be alive right now. She might be a Weekend of Bernie type thing. Who knows? But it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Absolutely and utterly outrageous.